Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio. You got your host, James J. behind the mic. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
And we have a new friend joining us. It's Shelby, the pet nanny, with us today. Good morning, Shelby.
Hi, good morning.
How you doing?
Good, how are you?
Doing good. We appreciate you joining us. Thank you so much for the time. Shelby is a new chamber member, so we want to send a shout out to our friends at the Wisconsin Rapids, Heart of Wisconsin Chamber. Appreciate them. Mm-hmm. And we appreciate you being here, Shelby. I want to talk to you. We love animals around here, so I'm going to warn you right now. You may be a regular. You may be on the dial. You may be somebody we bring in more and more. The thing is, if you have fun, if you do a good job, there's a catch. You have to come back. Shelby, appreciate the time. Let's start off right away with a little bit of you and your background. Can you give us a little bit of your origin story, a little bit about yourself?
Sure. My background is actually in social work. Hmm. I did that for almost 30 years in the area of mental health and decided to do kind of a semi-retirement and have been doing the pet nanny, pet sitting for about part-time for 3 years and then decided this year to do that full-time. Just saw the need and how much I enjoyed it, and just everyone is always excited to see me.
Yeah, a little different than social work.
Yes.
That's awesome. That was a good line. So. So first off, thank you for that service. Thank you for doing that. We understand, I think, a little better now, but a lot of us have been championing mental health for years, our whole lives. Mm-hmm. And people like yourself and doing that work are part of the people that helped us get here, trailblazers, I believe. And I'm very thankful for that. All that being said, Shelby, you're doing retirement wrong. This is not how you retire.
Did anybody tell you how to retire? She gets to spend time with pets every day.
It's a great point. It's extremely. This is how I want to retire. You are actually giving me the blueprint of how
really
I want to do
plan,
things. It's a very good plan.
I love it.
But where did this passion come from? Where did that desire? I mean, I don't mean that they aren't connected, mm-hmm. but I don't think that you naturally see a connection between social work and taking care of pet animals.
I have rescued and cared for pets since I was little. I mean, I was the kid that rescued the bunnies and went out into the barn,
brought
the cats into the house and had mom yelling like, "Get the cats out of the house!" And I also help the Humane Society with fostering kittens. Right. And so it's been a lifelong passion of mine. So,
not that this is the specific part of our conversation, but I always like to touch on this whenever I have a window to, because I've done fostering myself. Mm-hmm. It's such a rewarding thing.
It is.
I encourage people to do that whenever they can, especially with so many great humane societies and our listenership and everything. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of great opportunities for that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I've had a couple foster fails, as we call them,
that are now my pets. Many of them ended up as your pet.
Yes.
And if I didn't have a little apartment when I was doing it, I'd be just as bad. I was bad, even with that little apartment. That passion that's there since birth, from young age and everything, mm-hmm. and you find a different course in life where you go into the social work and that. Then it comes to doing this as a gig, and as you mentioned, mm-hmm. the process of that going from part-time to full-time because of the need. But how did you see, do you see a connection between your previous gig and this, between mental health and animals, between our connection with our animals and our pets and mental health?
I see it, Eve, with, just talking with people and visiting with people and how much comfort that their pets bring to them. Last year, I had individuals that lost their pets. Yeah. So, utilizing my background and helping them through that process, grieving, walking through that, going with them to the vet's office or the vet coming to their home. So just my background in that sense has helped. And part of me, I guess, didn't realize how much my background was still going to be helping, in this new gig of mine. So it has a lot.
Wow.
So, and even just the questions that people ask.
Mm. I imagine.
So.
It's funny. Yeah. I wouldn't have thought of it coming into before knowing you and doing some homework on you and everything. But going into that and everything, it all made perfect sense. It mm-hmm. all like aligns perfectly. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's kind of interesting the symmetry of how these things happen in life sometimes. It's pretty cool. it, it, it's it is really a matter of where I'm a genuine believer in. It's once you get to a certain age and realizing that it's not about who you dream. We all had dreams as kids of what we want to be, and then realizing what you're meant to be. You know,
exactly.
It seems like that for you in this process.
Very much.
And you're enjoying it. You're having fun with this. You're enjoying it. It's work, but I imagine it's tough work, but it's very rewarding work.
It is. I don't mind getting up early to go and see all of them. I don't mind going out at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock to do bedtime visits. And, you know, just this morning, just sitting on the couch with one of mine, her name is Grace, just snuggling with her. It's just, you know, all of a sudden I'm like, oh my gosh, Grace, we got to get going. It's time to go to, you know,
stop distracting me.
You can be late for Grace anytime with us. That's okay. Understandable. Let's talk about the services you offer and let people know a little more about your what you do.
Sure. I offer a couple different services. I do a drop-in service. So that can be, you know, if you have the busy work lifestyle like many of us, and you need me to come in and let, you know, your pet out during the day for a walk or, you know, some playtime, feeding, different things like that. It can also be if you go on a small vacation or a long vacation, I can come in, you know, one time, several times. I do a meet and greet, so that helps me to get to know the owner and all the pets.
Yeah.
I also do an overnight service, you know, that is, you know, once we're all comfortable with each other. I work with some pets that have anxiety or aren't able to be alone at nighttime, or they have a medical need. I have some dogs that have epilepsy, some cats that are diabetic, and they need someone to stay overnight. Mm-hmm. That also allows me to help take care of your home, check your mail, let people know that I'm in and out. So I offer a variety of services.
It has an advantage, an added bonus to it, too, of, you know, we have a lot of snowbirds in this area and a lot of those kind of things. When it comes to that, even if you don't have a pet, oftentimes people want somebody to keep an eye on the house.
Yes.
You have this kind of added bonus. Not to say that's your responsibility, but you are, you know, you're bopping around and everything.
Extra services.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it is kind of a nice thing that these added kind of things on there. But it also, I bring that up, too, to speak to the responsibility. It's not an easy gig to do this. I don't think it's always, I think that get lost on people sometimes. Mm-hmm. So it's a really nice thing to be able to have. And it's also, I really appreciate the way you broke this down for us of, you know, wanting to do it. It's a part-time thing at first, but then you see the need. And we've heard this before with our animal. Melissa did a story last week, I think it was, about the pet nanny. The pet carrier, the service, driving around, the mobile vet service. They were starting small and realized very quickly,
they may need to buy another van.
as Melissa and I earlier were talking about the growth of our dog population, and over the last 20 years, how many people are bringing dogs into their homes and everything.
Well, especially during the pandemic, I think pet ownership really did skyrocket. Yes. But then people had to go back to work. So services that you are offering are very much in need. Mm-hmm.
When it comes to those services and the busy schedule that it sounds like you have, are you taking new clients? Are you looking to add new people to your roster?
Yes, I am. Okay. I'm looking to add new individuals, and I do have my Facebook page, and so I have put that on there that I am looking for new individuals.
And you can just look up Shelby the Pet Nanny?
Correct.
Yeah.
It's a unique name. I love it.
It is. It really is. And they're not kidding. That's literally what I did, and your Facebook page popped up right away.
Perfect.
The chamber where you are at on the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce, their website you're on there as well, and that popped up. I have to tell you, your profile picture on your Facebook page is one of my favorite profile pictures I've ever seen. It's so great. Melissa, did you see this? I love it. That's a great picture.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good shot,
Shelby. The dog in the backpack.
Yes. My sweet dog, Buffy. She is a Cocker Spaniel, and I rescued her from Chilton. And just as she got older, she actually lost her eyesight and most of her hearing, and she was actually my hiking buddy. And so she still hiked with me, and I got that backpack. And so she kind of just is my premise from my business and just kind of like my heart and soul of why I do this.
So. Your inspiration.
Exactly. Thank you.
Shelby's never done radio before. She's new to this. Don't make the host speechless. I don't know what to say. That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. Oh, that's really cool.
Thanks.
So we should mention what areas you service, because we have listeners all over the state and all, kind of all over.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do Wisconsin Rapids, Nakusa, Port Edwards, Rudolph. Don't think I'm missing any.
Yeah, Port Edwards, maybe. I mean, but yes, basically in this listening area, in this central Wisconsin area.
Yes.
I think you think about this pretty realistically. Her services, she's sitting, she's nannying. So, right. You know, yes. You're probably not going to pull somebody from Milwaukee is probably not going to be able to use your services.
Right. Probably not.
But there are plenty of people out in that Milwaukee area.
Yes.
We around here, we're also an information station, and with our guests, well, we love to have fun and everything. We do also have to ask tough questions. We have to ask certain things about. So I don't mean this is any offense. I just have to ask, do you sit bears?
Huh.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, you got to think about
this. I've been asked to do a bearded dragon.
Nice.
If it was a friendly bear?
Okay.
I might.
Yogi or something like that.
Right, you're
open to animated bears.
There's some boundaries that you need to have put in place.
You are the best. You just roll with this stuff. You rock, Shelby.
But what are some of the more interesting animals that you've nannied?
The bearded dragon.
That is pretty cool.
He was interesting, and I really enjoyed learning about him, and it opened me up to being open
to learning
new experiences,
new pets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but he liked cuddles.
He does. He likes to snuggle.
I didn't. Wow. I've never heard of that. I didn't know that.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, it was amazing watching him with the owner, the young boy. Mm. So it was.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Are there types of animals that you are not able to sit, or you don't?
You know, I say spiders and snakes, and that comes from a fear of them. So not having a knowledge. So I think, and I would have said that about the bearded dragon. So I think maybe if I had more knowledge.
Or more interaction.
It wouldn't hurt to reach out to you, you know, and find out, you know, see if it works
or not. Come meet my spider and we can create a relationship here.
Maybe.
I think it's cool that you're even saying that. Like, you know, it's
maybe.
Not a, you don't, that's awesome. That's
not
cool
a no.
Yes. Yeah. Good on you.
Maybe.
Yeah. Good on you. Shelby.
Because we all have pets and, you know, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Shelby, we've already kept you too long, I think. You're a busy person. I really appreciate you putting up with my questions and hanging out with us today. If people want to know more and use your services and just learn more about you and everything, where should we send them? The Facebook page seems like a pretty good spot right away. Is there a phone number as well?
Yes, 715-316-7764.
Is there a good time of day to get a hold of you, Shelby, or just leave a message if you don't answer?
Anytime.
Okay.
And yes, leaving a message or even texting is fine as well.
Nice. Fantastic. Thank you for the services you did in your previous career. We greatly appreciate these services you're doing right now. As you know better than us, it is a very useful thing for our community. So we appreciate you putting back into the community like this. And you did too good. You did too good of a job. You're going to have to come back. You're going to have to come back sometime now, Shelby.
Well, these brochures you brought us are great. And if you want to leave a couple with us, we'll have them in the front office if anybody wants to stop in and grab one.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Shelby. Appreciate you. We'll see you again.
Okay.
We'll be back with more Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back to the Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. We're all smiles after hanging out with Shelby. That was great.
It was great.
She's awesome.
What a wonderful person.
Yep. Encourage everybody to go into your Facebook page, even if you don't have a pet. Like her page. Support her. Support the work she's doing.
And it's worth mentioning, which we didn't get to, she's fully insured, and reference checks are available. Because that's, you know, something you want to worry about when you're asking somebody to come into your home. But you're going to love Shelby as soon as you meet her.
Well, that's a great point. I wish I had mentioned that. I definitely should have. Appreciate that. That's good stuff. So we appreciate Shelby. Thanks again to her for joining us today. So I want to get into this a little bit, Melissa. We got some entertainment news I want to touch on right now. Interesting stuff going on. And so we talked earlier about a couple of things. One of them that I wanted to get to that we didn't have time for was this new way of doing TV. Used to be when we were kids, a show gets canceled, gone. Maybe you see it in reruns. If you're lucky, that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
There is, and I think I still maintain that this is all thanks to Firefly. and to the Sci-Fi Channel.
Okay.
We had, you know, canceled shows before, Picket Fences, and a lot of people send bobby pins or something like that to CBS to try to get it to get another year out of it or get it to stay around. There's been a lot of, like, campaigns from fans before. Mm-hmm. The most famous one is the one with Firefly.
Yeah.
And people sending, I think, like, lighters or flashlights or something like that to Sci-Fi Network to try to get it going. Now, they weren't able to bring the show back because everybody was too good on that show and everybody had schedules going on. What they were able to do was get a movie out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And while the movie didn't do the greatest or anything like that, the fan base loved it.
Yeah.
Or I should say the fan base loved that they got a movie at least.
Yes.
I don't know if they loved the movie itself or not. That's a case-by-case basis.
The movie was pretty good.
That's cool. I wasn't going to put you on the spot,
yeah,
but that's cool.
No, I really liked it.
I've heard from a lot of people that they did, but I didn't want to make an assumption. I didn't want to, you know, all fans loved it or whatever. That's the quickest way to get fans to get yelled at you.
Mm-hmm.
So that show was iconic in that way, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really set the stage and blazed the trail for other shows now, where last year Magnum P.I. is on one network. It's going to be canceled. NBC goes, hey, we'll take that off your hands. They work out a deal, and now it's on NBC. Brooklyn Nine-Nine did a similar thing, and now we have another one doing this.
Really?
But it's getting a little more interesting.
Okay.
So this whole situation is odd. Fox has canceled 911, but ABC is picking it up for a seventh season. Congratulations to the cast, the writers, the editors, the everybody on that show. There's a lot of jobs that creates.
Yeah, a lot of work.
And I'm happy for all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Here's where it gets weird, though, because they have a spinoff show called 911 Lone Star, and that's staying on Fox. So that's going to be on Fox, while the 911 show, the original show, is going to be on ABC.
Okay.
I wait for the day when the Law & Order universe this happens to.
You're going to get split?
Yeah, and Law & Order SVU is on NBC, and Law & Order this is on this network. And like, the original 911 has been one of the most popular shows on Fox, but back in 2019, Disney acquired 21st Century Fox's film and TV assets, meaning the Fox network no longer had as big a financial stake in it.
Hmm.
And it's an expensive show to produce. It's made more sense for Fox to let it go. Fox is going much more along the lines of reality TV, as they have shown over the last 10 years.
That's depressing.
Yes, it is. Yes, incredibly. Animated shows are also cheaper to produce, so they either go animated or they go reality. Not a lot of scripted television from Fox in the future, and they're not going to be. That's just not what they're making their bones on.
Well, I never really watched it anyway, so I guess I'm not missing anything.
Honestly, as soon as The Simpsons or Bob's Burgers off of there, I
you're done.
I'm done. I was thinking of this the other day. I just don't have any. And I have to be honest about something, too. The original show that I worked on and everything, it was a Fox show.
Mm.
I really did not like the way they treated us, the way they treated my team.
Mm.
And I don't mean me and actors. I mean everybody that was a part of that show and a part of other shows at that time. We made friends with other shows that were canceled and never saw the light of day and all this. Some networks find a tax break in doing this, and they don't. It's not as if as actors they let us in on this. All we think is, hey, we just finally got our big break. I'm gonna quit my job, my steady job, and I'm going to go in and take a chance, and I'm going to roll the dice and do something I never do. I'm going to gamble with my life and my career, and I'm going to move to California and put all my eggs in this basket. I'm doing it. I've been wanting to do it since I was a kid. I'm going to go all in. We don't know at the time that this is a tax write-off. We don't know that this is something that this show is never planned
to see the light of day.
And again, I walked into this. I did this as a grown adult, and but not everybody knows all this stuff, and certainly wouldn't give up a steady paycheck for a chance at like that. I'm thankful for those behind the scenes reasons that I don't think is common knowledge to people for a show like this or for shows to have a second life.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool to see. It's just so weird. It's such a different world. Because back in the day, Fox would be like, no, you're not taking my stuff. I'm not sharing my stuff with you or
that's
anything.
That's our show.
And now it's just that's different, especially Disney when you're printing money. You're like, I don't care. I mean, go ahead and take it off my hands. It's not a big deal. That's an interesting thing that we're in right now.
Mm-hmm.
What's even more interesting is what happened overnight. The Hollywood writers going on strike, bringing production on many television shows to a halt.
Yeah.
And keep a couple things in mind with this one, because you're going to hear a lot of stuff on this. First and foremost, I want you to understand that the Writers Guild is only looking to get paid for what they do.
Mm-hmm.
They are not looking for back pay. They're not looking for getting paid for something they're not doing. They're not exaggerating anything. They are literally just trying to get what they deserve.
Mm-hmm.
If you work an 8-hour shift, what do you want? You want to get paid for 8 hours, right?
For 8 hours, yeah.
Well, the producers and these people are trying to pay you 4 hours for an 8-hour shift. Mm-hmm. And that's putting it lightly. That's me rounding up,
right?
Being nice about it. I also want people to keep in mind, while writers are on strike, companies are not. Production companies are not.
Right.
So as far as them putting out their take on this, their side of things, you're going to see an overabundance of that. You're going to definitely see that. You're not going to be able to see a lot of writers defend themselves or give you their side of the story because right. they're on strike. Whereas the people who are not on strike still have the medium of TV,
they have
newspaper.
The platform.
Yes, so they mm-hmm. can still get their quote-unquote message out.
Right.
It's propaganda,
their
but it's
take.
More of a message.
Mm-hmm.
The more than 11,000 members of the Writers Guild of America are set to go on strike on Tuesday morning for the first time since 2007. Through negotiating, though we negotiated intent on making a fair deal, the studio's response to our proposals has been wholly insufficient, given the existential crisis writers are facing. Again, we choose these industries and stuff, so I don't ask for empathy or sympathy. I only ask for understanding and for an adult brain to approach the subject, because we're not talking about teachers and doctors and these things, and I don't overextend my profession. I understand what we do, and what we do is entertain, first and mm-hmm. foremost, and entertainment is not necessarily a need, if you will, but isn't it?
It's not life or death, but I think it is a need.
Where were you during the pandemic? did you need us then? Did you need entertainers then? Did you need entertainers during the Great Depression? Did you need entertainers during... You need it. It's an
important part of our society.
It is not as important as doctors or teachers or any of the... I'm not at all saying that it is that kind of importance by any means.
But it's still a daily need. Daily, everybody in their daily life takes in some entertainment.
And don't you think that any person given any profession deserves to be paid what they're worth?
Yeah.
Isn't this the point of the Me Too movement or equal rights or any of these things?
Unions.
That's all that they're looking for here.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't until the strike happened. You'd never heard me calling out saying producers treat everybody wrong or anything like that. Like, yes, I've been very honest about what a producer is, but I've never necessarily talked down about them. Where it comes in is when you are trying to cut corners and cheat people out of stuff. And a writer, especially a person that's all they do is writer, there's very few writers right now living in the lap of luxury. Like, most of them are living the same as the rest of us, paycheck to paycheck. Just because you're in the entertainment industry doesn't mean that that changes.
It just means that your rent is more because you live in California.
Right. If I write a sketch for Saturday Night Live, and it's a banger. It hits. Everybody loves it. It's the next, big next character and everything. That's cool. I got paid for it when it aired on TV. I don't get paid when it's on the internet and it's on Twitter and somebody's reposting it or NBC's network is playing it on their webpage and it plays over and over and over and over.
Right.
I don't get anything from that. That ain't right. That's not fair. That is not how this works. Now, how you figure that out? Most of the Writers Guild believes that it's pretty hard to figure out, well, how many times this is going to get played and getting paid every time it gets, like getting a penny for every play. That's going to mm-hmm. get a little difficult.
That's messy.
So you're going to get in front of this and say, well, we're paying you this amount of money beforehand. And if things work out and they're hits, great. If they're not hits, that's the way this works. It's how movies work.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know. You could have the greatest script in the world in front of you. You have no idea if it's going to be a hit. They are banking on it. They are betting on it. They are gambling on it being a hit.
Mm-hmm.
This is the industry we've already understood and already get it to work with. But they're trying to change the game. They're trying to say, no, we already paid you for this product. Now we get to do whatever we want with it. We can play it as much as we want, and you don't get added money. that's not how this works. That's not how movies work.
That's not how music works.
No, no. So why do you get to treat the internet differently? That ain't right. You're moving the goalpost. You're changing the rules in the middle of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that ain't right. I understand that we're all trying to figure this out. That I think we can all be understanding about.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea of, hey, we got a pretty good handle on this now. We've been doing this internet thing for a while now. You know, we kind of understand the game. Mm-hmm. Let's talk this out. But they don't want to. They want the rules to change in the middle of the conversation, in the middle of the negotiation. They want something that doesn't make sense. That this old model, that pre-internet model, any model pre-internet is not going to work.
It's not accurate now.
I don't expect people to necessarily feel empathy for this industry, for this what's going on here or anything. But the economic impact affects everything and mm-hmm. affects all of us. The 2007 strike cost an estimated $2 billion economic damage.
That's a lot of money.
And that's not just in Southern California they're feeling that.
Well, no.
You're going to feel that in everywhere. This industry affects so much.
Mm-hmm.
We started with, have you been entertained? Okay, you have. I can live without entertainment. That'd be fine. Maybe you can. But there are people in your life. There are people. There are industries in your life that
cannot.
Need it. Yes. I don't personally. There is a lot of doomsayers out there right now saying that this could last years. That this could last whatever. I don't believe that. Maybe I'm wrong, and go ahead and throw into my face if I am. I don't believe that we're talking years. I think we may be looking at months, which that could still be millions and millions of dollars and stuff.
Yeah, that could be bad.
But
I think that there is something worth noting of a group of people banding together and, you know, peacefully protesting and saying, no, we're not going to stand for this. We are giving a service. We're doing a job. We deserve to get paid for what we do.
I would also like, you know, for everybody that's outside of the industry, you think that it's nothing but egomaniacs and divas running around. To Melissa's point, people in this industry have banded together. They put their egos aside.
Mm-hmm.
They are giving up work, literally right now giving up a paycheck because they believe in this so much.
They believe in this cause and they believe in what they do and the importance of it to society.
And there is more than just them online here. It's the future writers. It's the mm-hmm. kids in school right now, in college right now, that are going to be going into this industry that we're thinking about that are an important part of this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, again, expect people to take it ultra serious until it starts affecting your work, because it's not going to affect any of your network shows right now. Summer shows, maybe? Your fall shows? Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Everything's already done as far as your scripted stuff nowadays
right now.
And everything. But you're going to see something come August when people are, well, wait a minute. Why isn't my shows premiering? Why isn't my... And you're darn sure going to hear from me when The Simpsons doesn't premiere. Good luck, everybody. Good luck dealing with me then.
Oh.
It's... And I also will add on to this. If I didn't bring it up in the beginning, I apologize. I sometimes assume things too often with our listeners and stuff. That I talk so much and I ramble so much, you guys just assume. This, but I shouldn't do that. I am biased in this conversation. I am not being like, I have given you facts that have no opinion to them, but I have surrounded that with some opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I am somebody who is in the Actors Guild. I am somebody who has been a part of the Writers Guild and have many friends in this industry.
Mm-hmm.
I also have friends that are producers. I also have friends that are on that side of things too. I am trying to show both sides of this story, but I am not at all trying to sound like I am not a little biased about this. I don't want to sound that way.
But I think that this translates to other industries too, James.
Absolutely.
You know, like teachers unions.
Yes.
We just saw that with our nurses not being able to form a union.
Yep.
And to advocate for their workplace safety, for their patients' workplace safety. This translates across all of industries, honestly.
Yeah.
Workers should have the protections that they need and the rights they need and be paid a living wage, paid for what they do.
It's not, it's almost the bare minimum of what we're talking about here.
But there's so many industries that it's far more difficult to strike.
Yeah.
So good on them, is what
yeah.
I say.
Yeah. And well said, actually. I don't know if you feel confident with that last sentence, but I thought that was very well said, actually.
Okay.
And important to note, because you're right, not everybody can strike like this.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take a break. We're going to get to Melissa's news. We'll come back and have some more fun on The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. We hope you're having a good one out there. I can't think of the name of this song.
I don't know it either. Ah,
I know it. It's on the tip of my tongue. Nope. Can't think of the artist, can't think of the song. This never happens to me.
Where's Seth when we need him?
I am so frustrated right now.
Wait, did I just right say now. We need Seth?
Rats. See, you're frustrated too. We got some fun stuff to get into right now. And I think probably the most popular thing, or one of the more popular things being talked about right now, is this ChatGPT.
Yeah.
It feels like a number of different things, just conversations come back to it. Mm-hmm. It gets brought up in the most random ways or the most random things, and it's just something that we're going to have to deal with, I think. I don't think it's going anywhere. So you've held off on seeing what our new artificial intelligence overlords can do. Maybe you haven't used ChatGPT yet. Maybe it's because you're holding the line for human society, or maybe it's because you can think of you can't think of anything that you could really do for it can do for you.
Mm-hmm. You don't need it to write you a paper.
I personally, I can't imagine a scenario where I would ever use it. It goes against everything I am. I fought my whole life to make a living creatively.
Being original.
Yes. And to be original just in general, even outside of work or anything like that, but let alone in the work world and everything. Mm-hmm. I finally got to that place. I'm doing it. Now I'm going to go ahead and have a computer do it for me. I'm not saying that I come up with the most original great stuff or anything, but at least it's mine. At least I came up with it. I don't know how... I think one of the bigger things that I have an issue with in the creative world, in the creative universe, is stealing a joke. Like, comedians deal with this a lot. Another comedian stealing their jokes and turning it into their own, or mm-hmm. that kind of thing. And plagiarism.
Like, yeah.
Plagiarism is a big deal to me.
Well, I'm not saying it's ChatGPT is kind of straight up plagiarism, isn't it?
Right, yeah.
I mean, it's the computer taking all of these other things and mashing it into one. I don't know, James, because there's a lot of what we do as creators that, you know, pays homage or honors those that came before us. Because is there anything truly original?
Right. There's nothing new under the sun.
So in that sense, I don't know. I'm of multiple minds with this. I think ChatGPT has a place in society. Do I think that we're, like, getting ahead of ourselves with it? Perhaps. Especially when the people who are the builders of this are saying, we don't fully understand it.
Yeah.
And maybe we should take a step back for just a moment. And then these others over here are going, oh, but wait, we can make money with this. We don't care what you say. We're just going to go full steam ahead.
Right. Which is an issue with a number of apps, a number of different things. Almost all of them, now that I think about it, have had some issues with this and stuff. And again, this is guinea pig time. We're all figuring this out as we go along.
And every time we get a thing that pops up on our screen that says, you have to agree to cookies, you have to agree to our privacy settings, how many of us read through those to, you know, each word? And say, yep, I agree to that. Most of us scroll to the bottom and click accept.
So we can all agree that we're trying to figure this out in real time in the middle of the game and all that, and trying to make this out. So I do a callback to my last conversation about how important it is to that these writers get that this contract gets right. Mm-hmm. Because of all these moving parts and everything, we're trying to figure this out and stuff. It just adds to my point from before, where not intentional. I was not intending to do that, but I can't help myself.
Well, and actually, I thought of that too when you said the writers are going on strike. The writers are going on strike. I was like, I wonder if they're just going to try to replace them with ChatGPT.
Right. And they will. They definitely will.
Well, because it's already happening. I mean, teachers are already dealing with students turning in papers that were written by AI. Now we have My AI on Snapchat. I don't know if you've messed with it at all. I've looked at it, but I haven't had any conversations with it because I for myself personally, like, I have no interest in that.
Yeah.
I would rather have a conversation with you about something versus a computer. And if I have a question, I want to go to Google or, you know, whatever search engine you use, DuckDuckGo, and research it from information that was written by people.
So you and I don't have a lot of use for it, or and I agree with all you were just saying there.
But from a news perspective, I do kind of want to mess with it a little bit.
Yeah, I get you. I get you there. The
curiosity, like, I want to research
it. Yeah, I like that, actually. I think that's a very healthy for us here that love your news. I think that's a good thing. Now, here are four practical things that real, normal, non-techie people can actually use ChatGPT to do.
Okay.
So maybe you and
maybe
I even
we'll
might
find
use
something
it for something
here.
Like this.
All right.
Like anything involving math. Wait a minute, I'm listening.
What? Hold on.
Yeah. Need to figure out a percentage, convert the time zone here to the time zone, you need to convert time zones or anything like that. You're flying overseas or something, or even more confusing, in Arizona. ask ChatGPT, it will handle the conversion fast.
Yeah, but you can do that on Google.
Yeah. How about this one? Explain complex topics using simple metaphors. Want to finally understand blockchain or any other complex topic? Ask ChatGPT, explain like I'm five. You can even ask it to use a metaphor or to whatever topic you want. That's not bad. I've mentioned many times before, Bill Nye, Neil deGrasse Tyson, some of my favorite people, they can talk about the Milky Way and explain it to where even I can understand it. I think that there's a talent in that. But there is also, they weren't just born that way. They worked that talent.
Right.
They earned that talent. They figured out a way to do that. I don't like the idea of us not pushing our brains. Our brains are meant to be pushed. Mm-hmm. It's not healthy for your brain not to have challenges, not to have, our brain, we would be puddles if all of our life was privilege, if mm-hmm. all of our life was nothing. You see people in society that have that life. Mm-hmm. You've seen how they turn out. Mm-hmm. They become spoiled little brats. They become people that they have never understood what responsibility is, never had dirt under their nails, never went to war or any of these things. And while some of them might become president, they don't do a good job once they're in there. Come on. We've seen the privilege. We've seen the spoiled brats, what happens mm-hmm. to them and everything when they're handed everything in life, when they don't have to think for themselves.
Well, and one of the things that's coming out about this is, so you ask him that question, you ask him to explain it to you like you're five. The possibility of them not explaining it correctly is there.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that they're saying about mm-hmm. this My AI through Snapchat. You can have conversations with it, you can ask it a bunch of questions. There's a percentage of time where it's wrong.
Right.
And you don't have the sources. Like, say I Google something mm-hmm. and I bring up, six different sources on explain what a black hole is.
Right, right.
You're going to have Neil deGrasse Tyson. You're going to have Bill Nye, the science guy. You're going to have these recognizable scientists that you know explaining something. And then you're going to have this guy that you've never heard of before that's got some very borderline, potentially wacko idea.
Yeah.
And you're going to look at all these sources and you're going to say, okay, one of these doesn't fit.
Cats are reading your emails.
And sending them through black holes.
Yes, yes,
I don't know.
Yeah.
But what's the possibility that you're going to get just that one wacko idea through chat GPT?
Right.
I don't know what the percentages are. Obviously, I am no...
Oh, but there's percentages. There's definitely a percentage. There's definitely some.
As a human with a brain, doing the research yourself and looking at all that, can you still get it wrong? Yes, of course. We're not perfect.
No.
And our sources aren't perfect.
Yeah.
But
much more unlikely to get it wrong, and you're much more. And wouldn't you rather get it wrong? I always prefer to get something wrong myself than to have somebody else get something wrong and I'm still blamed. I would rather get the information wrong myself and okay, I did wrong. I'll own this. I'll fall on the sword. Whatever. Then ChatGPT's fault.
Well, that's the thing. I was just thinking, so I've got this information and I feel good about it, and I'm going to tell everybody, and then you find out it's wrong. And what are you going to do? Turn around and say, oh, well, that's what I found on ChatGPT. That's what it told me. It's what my AI told me.
So what is the purpose of any of you then? Why don't I just go to ChatGPT? Why do I need you? That brings that conversation up. There's two other things on here. One is writing your emails for you. ChatGPT can write emails, or at least the first drafts. Again, you just have to go in there and redo it yourself anyway when it's not correct. And the other one, summarize long documents. ChatGPT can read long reports for you and give you a summary. It's like an intern minus the neediness. That's That's real hilarious. This is all, like, I am all for helping people with work. And assets or life hacks and all those kind of things. But there are no shortcuts when it comes to knowledge. You want to learn something, you got to learn it. You can't just, read a book. Like, this isn't a book report we're talking about here. And even a book report, you got to read the book.
You shouldn't just go with Cliff Notes.
Yes.
You're going to miss some stuff. Are there times where this will be useful? Yes, absolutely. Are there times where you should take that responsibility on yourself? Also, yes, absolutely. If you're writing an email to your mom, don't use ChatGPT. If you're writing an email response to some company that sent you a form letter that you need to respond to, sure, maybe that's appropriate.
You do use the ChatGPT. How good you're going to feel afterwards? I promise you, you put the work in, you're going to feel good afterwards. You earn it that mm-hmm. way. You feel something from earning things. You get some confidence, some pride, some self-respect. You don't get that with ChatGPT. Like, there's a lot of things that this does, that are falling that it does not cover.
I think that this is going to evolve, and obviously, because we're just getting started with figuring this out. And then there's going to be some fails. We're going to have some major things happen that are tied to this that then we're going to go, oh, wait, we should have listened to those guys that said, hey, maybe we should take a step back.
Just take our time with this. We don't have to rush. Nope. We don't have to rush this stuff. Do want to send a shout out to your old roomie, Laura. Mm-hmm. Promises from Naked Eyes. That's what
there
that song
we go.
Was.
I knew she'd get it.
Yeah, great job, Laura. By the way, Naked Eyes, horrible band name.
Yes.
Horrible band name. What
Absolutely.
Were you thinking? That was the best you could come up with. Like, we got to name our band. What are we going to name ourselves? Naked Eyes. Like, what is the
They
is
don't
the
wear contacts?
Yeah, like, what the what, man? That was
they
the
all
best
have 20/20 vision.
Like, you can wait a little longer. You got some time to come up with a better name. No, that's the best you got. Okay, all right. Mm-hmm. I promise you that's not going to end well.
I'm almost scared to ask. Were they one hit wonder?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Be back with more after this. Thanks so much, Jennifer. We appreciate you. God, I never get tired of the way she says her name. I love her voice. Love the way she says her name. Mm-hmm. Shout out to our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Big shout out to Paul for joining us earlier. Thank you to Shelby, the pet nanny. That was so much fun hanging out with Shelby
that was
today.
Fun.
We've had a good show. This has been fun.
Mm-hmm.
We want to wrap up with some good stories of the day, and we've been doing some local good stories.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to get to those in just a second. Real quick, a shout out to this That Ain't Right story and this lady. A mom in Arizona just got stung dozens of times over the weekend while protecting her kids.
Oh, no.
It happened near Phoenix on Sunday. They were doing a family photo shoot when she got swarmed. The That Ain't Right is the bees. We're trying to save you, bees.
Right.
We're trying to save you here. This is not helping.
Well,
this is not helping.
To be fair, those are probably not bees we want to save.
No. Yeah, good point. And a shout out to that mom. Like, nicely done, mom.
Way to go,
nicely
mom.
Nicely done, lady. Nicely done.
And what we can do to help with that is plant the Nomo May and letting our native plants grow.
Nice.
Because that attracts the good bees, the ones we want.
Well said. Nice. I'm glad you put that in. The fire department posted tips for if you ever get swarmed. They say run in a straight line, cover your face, and get inside. Mm. But don't jump in water. That is a myth. The bees might just wait for you to surface and keep stinging your head.
Yes.
As somebody who has been stung literally more times than I can count, I will promise you that. Yes, they don't care. They'll just, they are patient. They are patient bees.
And they're mean.
Yeah. They got a mean streak. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Local good stories. Of the day now, I want to dive right into these. That he right that late that those bees. Assumption Catholic Schools has a spring band concert going on tonight.
Woo!
At 6:30 in the Assumption High School Gymnasium. It is free and open to the public.
Yeah, support our kids.
Yeah, and Port Edward School District has their spring concert season in effect. They have one coming up on the 4th at 6:30. Their elementary school concert at Dorothy Alexander Gymnasium.
Awesome.
Keep both of those in mind, everybody.
Yeah, break a leg, kids.
Yeah, have fun. Break a leg. Have a great run.
And then we also have Stuff the Desk began this week, yesterday, and this is an opportunity for you to sign up your kids if you need help with school supplies this fall. The registration is open now until August 3rd, but the sooner you sign up, the sooner you can select your time slot. And there's time slots available on August 18th in the afternoon, and then Saturday, August 19th in the morning. So this, like I said, the sooner you sign up for this, the sooner you can choose which slot you want. And then this will help you with everything from backpacks to notebooks to, it may not be every school supply that your student needs, but it's going to help you with the majority of them.
Yeah. Appreciate our friends at the United Way of South Winnemem's Counties. Mm-hmm. You can find out more by going to uwswac.org.
Yes, and if you want to be a donor for this, call the 211 number and ask how you can help or contact them at the United Way.
And we are so excited. We have Hoozle's Rise to Music 2 going on right now.
Yes, this is the second annual event. This is such an awesome opportunity for our local musicians to have a chance to get out in front of an audience. Maybe you haven't done that before. Mm-hmm. This is the perfect environment to do it because you're going to feel supported every step of the way. You only need 15 minutes of performance time. That's anywhere between 3 and 6 songs, depending on how long your songs are. You can do original content. You can do covers. It's your choice. And it's also your choice to do whatever kind of, you can have backup music. You can play a guitar. You can bring a harp. I don't think that they've ruled anything out this year.
I love the harp. Yeah.
Hey, I know a harpist who's amazing.
Right on.
So you've never heard Metallica until you hear it on a harp.
Yes, right on.
So you want to head over to hoozlesrisetomusic.com, get your registration in. This year, we can offer you so much more opportunity because we have not only our original show, Director's Cut, which airs on Sundays at 8 o'clock?
8 to 9, yes.
8 to 9. But we also, because of our civic media network, we have Max Inc. Radio as well.
Yeah.
And so we can play your music across the state. Mm-hmm. And we want to highlight you. So the qualifiers will get a radio interview here on WFHR. You get to perform at the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters ballpark and a cash prize. The grand finale gets the paid residency, studio recording time, radio interviews, like all the kit and caboodle.
Yeah. We're going to talk more about this. We're going to talk. We got a lot of great stuff coming up this summer for you, everybody.
Oh, yeah. Mark your Thursdays.
Yep. And go to hoozlesrisetomusic.com to find out more and to register. Mm-hmm. Spread the word about this, and a shout out to Steph. Great work.
Yeah, thank you, Steph.
Thank you to Hoozles. Thank you, Melissa. Great show.
Yeah, you too, James.
Stick around for Money Magazine coming up right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.